Do we think he's an active listener on our show?
I hope he is.
I mean, obviously.
Yeah, he wants to be the show. Yeah.
So you think he's Go Heat or what?
I feel Patrick Riley, he lives in the North State, so he's an underdog. You know, here in the North State, we're underdogs.
No doubt.
So he's going for sure, Himmy. And he's a Butler fan, so I'm right there with you, Patrick.
All right, shout out to Patrick Riley.
Yeah, for being a
Century 21 Select. Mm-hmm. Shout out to you, our listener. Let's get it.
We talking about practice. Not a game. We talking about practice. It's easy to sum it up. We just talk about practice. I mean, listen, we talking about practice. I mean, how silly is that? Man, we talking about practice. We talking about practice, man.
That's right. You know the drill. Talking about practice, Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio show. I am your co-host, Jarrell. Partner in crime, co-creator of the show, Derek Isamaki.
Yo, what's good, party people?
We have our resident degenerate. If you got it, then spend it, because you can't take this money with you, Rudy Vasquez.
Let's go, baby.
And we got our producer extraordinaire, Stepman Brett.
Yeah! Let's go!
All right, there we go. So listen, little peek behind the curtains. I walk in today, and Brad arrives a couple minutes after Rudy and I get here. Mm-hmm. And the vibes are off, man. The vibes are off.
I mean, I don't know why want our vibes to be on your vibe level right now, because our vibe level can't be where your vibe level is.
At the same time, I started work at 3 this morning.
Okay, you do that every morning. Yeah. We get it. Okay.
And, I mean, the only one that doesn't understand, you are a supposed Warriors fan.
So listen, hold on. Guys.
Supposed? What?
I'm just saying, you are a Warriors fan. I'm saying supposed because, you would have been a little bit more enthusiastic for a big victory. I was, whole North State was invested, except for Brad, it felt like.
Fellas, this is not the problem. The problem is, between us, as friends, for the first time as a show, in the history, in the illustrious 7-year career, our 10-year, it's the first time ever that 50% of this room wants one team to win in the playoffs, and the other 50% wants the other team. We have a rivalry unlike any other that we've ever experienced in this room. Never before in the history of this show have we been exactly divided. And I walk in today and everyone's like, yeah, you're going to do your Warriors thing. This is not about the Dubs today. This is about this room. Guys, we have 2 Lakers fans. We have 2 Warriors fans.
Yep.
And for you guys to not come in and have the energy that I have and ready to do this, we're going to war, baby.
Yeah, no, I wanted to. I think I was speaking for a lot of people. I wanted the Warriors to lose, unfortunately. I knew it wasn't the case after they had won. They kept the home court advantage alive. There was no home court advantage, essentially, because they took both the games at home in the Bay. Once that happened, the Sacramento Kings didn't get one in the away territory. I was like, that's game, set, and match right there. The Warriors know how to win in 7. They're going to win that game 7 no matter what. And what do? They stomped the living daylights out of Sacramento. Sacramento could not hang with the lights got the brightest. The Warriors know how to live in that light the best. More so than any other team right now that's playing in the playoffs. They know how to play in the brightest of lights. The only person that could possibly think of that is LeBron James, and he is not even playing at his best right now. So this war that's about to happen is definitely one that is a little nerve-wracking, because I know what's going to come my way when the Lakers win, and the problem is I can't have the same vitriol and praise and admiration for if the Lakers do win, because I have not been fully behind this Lakers team ever since LeBron James has been there. So it's hard for me to be, yes, I want him to win so bad. I want to do it just for the Laker name on there. But the problem is LeBron James will always take the spotlight and it will always be turned on him, and it not is on the Lakers. And that's something I'm going to have to fake. So I'm going to have to fake my love for LeBron right now for this series. And that's just not fun for me, because I have to give LeBron praise and admiration and hope he does the best.
yes,
for my Laker team.
Totally fair, and I do know you, and I knew this was going to be a real conflict for you, which is part of the reason I'm so excited to be here today. I really love just mixing it up. It does bug me a lot, if I'm being honest, that I can't get more out of you if this was Dodgers Giants in a in the NLDS, this would be a much bigger deal, I feel.
100%, yeah, yeah.
For you, so it's, but again, that'd be 3-1 in this room. And so, yeah, it is a little disappointing. I just, I feel a little lackluster about this new series that we're about to embark on. And, you know, we'll get there, though. Well, let's come back. Let's circle back to my disappointment in everyone in this room. Is that okay?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah,
okay.
I mean, it's your disappointment right now. I don't know if anyone wants to like wait in there right now.
Yeah. Sorry, Dad.
Let's talk about the series we just witnessed. The greatest offensive performance by anyone in a Game 7. Steph Curry put this team on his back, though. 50 points, Game 7. First time we've ever seen that. And that was it, man. He got, besides Kevon Looney, he got next to no help. And
that being said, he went up against what turned out to be a very disappointing Sacramento team's squad. They were a shell of themselves in this game. For the entire series, for the most part, they were not. I mean, granted, you're playing a very good, well-tested, battle-tested team out there in the Warriors. And this is a Sacramento team that showed their youth in and out. And they were putting their high hopes and had for a while on a person that was by far the most inept player on the court, and by that person I'm talking about is Harrison Barnes. That person could not hit the broadside of a barn. He couldn't hit water if he fell out of a boat. He was that disappointing, and for him to be like, they're like, oh, this is the guy that's like our season vet. That was disappointing. That was your season guy, was Harrison Barnes, and for him to be like I don't know how much of a leader he was on that team or whatever, but for him to be the really only guy that had any real playoff experience on that team, that was a detriment to them right there. And they really showed out how Sabonis handled himself in that game and after the game was really disappointing. Mm-hmm. De'Aaron Fox was their only real saving grace. Malik Monk played out of his mind for a couple of games. Yep. That's not sustainable. They didn't have the team for it. They were not as deep. They didn't have the savvy vets you need. They didn't have the one guy that could ignore all the pressure that's around him and get the ball in the basket when you needed it. They didn't have a guy like that. De'Aaron Fox was their closest thing they had, and this is his first taste at it. So they were it was a big uphill battle for them, and it was disappointing that, I mean, I'm giving a lot of harshness on this young team.
You are.
But, you know, it's warranted right now because you were coming in here talking all this smack with the light, the beam, and the only thing you lit was barely a flashlight. Not even a match, okay?
They took the defending champions to Game 7. The first time in what, 20 years they've been to the playoffs? That's saying something.
No, so I think... the Kings fans, they have a core there to build around.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
But to Derek's point as well, they need an adult in the room.
Oh, yeah.
They need an Andre Iguodala. Oh, yeah. They need a Sean Livingston. If you think about all the Warriors championships before this last one, they always had an adult in the room. David West, right? They always had that dog. They had an older dude who you could rely on to get you some buckets. Andrew Bogut, right? Mm-hmm. When your dude is Harrison Barnes, who the Warriors let slide, he's supposed to be your vet, to your point, that's supposed to be able to, in a big spot, get you a few buckets. And he couldn't do it. They got to get rid of him.
Yeah.
They got to get rid of him.
Again, it's just hard, obviously, to put a full team together that has all the right pieces. And they have the pieces there, but they are definitely missing a couple of big pieces, mm-hmm. some instrumental pieces that are definitely that every team needs if you want to be a serious championship contender. So, hey, Kings, you got something to hang your hat on to.
They should
again,
be proud of absolutely.
As Rudy did say, I didn't give you that credit. You guys took the defending champs to Game 7. That's a big deal, no doubt. But it was just disappointing that... You could have won it. You had the chance to win the series.
Yeah, you're right.
And it's just you floundered it a little bit.
And I think the biggest thing that Harrison Barnes actually contributed wasn't in the series, but it was the years prior, like leading that team and getting them to this spot. Like he was never going to be able to perform here, but he got him got them ready for this moment, I feel.
So he was a fluffer.
He's a congratulations.
And that's congratulations.
You do a great job of being ready. Like, what? That doesn't help us. The Kings had the champs on the ropes. They should have knocked them out.
You're correct.
The Kings should have won this series.
Absolutely.
They absolutely should have won this series. And with that said, I do think they have, like I said, they have some building blocks. But at the same time, I see what I see Derek's point of view here. Like, you have a vet who you rely on in these moments. And I don't want to pile on Harrison Barnes because, you know, he's a solid player. But, like, bro, you got to get.
He's not that type of leader.
He had just the one miss. They had a wide open three where it's just an absolute shank. Where it just did it barely touched rimming. It was the bottom in the corner. It was like, that's what you shot? That's what you're hitting? I'm just saying, any professional athlete hitting that shot would have been embarrassing, let alone the guy that's supposed to be, that vet on that team, the one that's been in the playoffs that had these runs before. That was just like, that's a terrible taste to leave in one's mouth right there.
And the biggest takeaway for me is going into next year for the Kings is Sabonis needs to figure out his mid-range jump shot, because it looked like it wasn't even there at all the whole entire series, and even more so in the last couple games, it looked exposed, where Looney was off him about 10, 15 feet, letting him take any shot that he wanted out there, and he was only able to make in the paint.
You would think Sabonis is a talented enough player to figure that part of his game out. It's a lot different in the regular season when you're playing, three different teams a week. You're on a road trip, right? Like, you just came from L.A., you played the Clippers, Lakers. You hit, the same week you're going to go play the Kings. You're not watching film on film on film. So you're not going to expose teams that way. And I think as a basketball player, if you're not used to a dude backing off you by 10, 15 feet and letting you have it, like, you feel naked out there, right? Like, and Mike Brown and that coaching staff had no counterpunch. And Mike Brown, coach of the year, but he's a defensive coach. That's what he's known for. And they had no counterpunch. And that was a little surprising. With all that said, I mean, at the end of the day, you are playing the champs. And that experience showed in Game 7. But, man, I thought the Kings, they had this series, bro. Even going into yesterday, I was like, man, I don't know. Like, Steph's going to have to go crazy. And shout out my guy, Font. He texts me early and goes, look at Steph's eyes. He's got that psychopath look in his eyes.
See, I wanted him to lose so bad just because I hate the stupid one-arm sleeve that he's rocking right now. Like, just put him both sleeves on. Just, what are you trying to do right now? You're just trying to just accentuate the fact that you have one sleeve on and you need it, but you're still going to be a killer out there. And you only can do that if you're good. So he can do that,
shout
obviously.
Shout out to AI, the first one to really
do that. You only can do that if you are good. So shouts to Curry. You are able to rock it, but I hate him for rocking it because it's just like, ugh, you're good. And I hate you for being that good, for being able to rock something that stupid
Thank you.
Looking.
There we go. So. I needed this hate. Yeah. Derek, I needed this hate. This is what I was begging for. We could go on and on about this last series. Let's move on, though, because, again, this room is divided, and this is going to be fun. It's going to be interesting.
Oh, yeah. It's game time, baby.
We have.
Well, like I told you yesterday, the playoff starts now. Starts tomorrow.
I mean,
wait, now or tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
But it also started 2 weeks ago.
I was saying, yes. This was where the roads were, a lot of people were hoping for. The NBA, was hoping for this. This is two megastars meeting in around the. No one has knocked out the Warriors since forever.
Yeah.
This is not a finals of LeBron.
Yeah, I think
LeBron
it was the Jazz in 06, the last time the Warriors went out in the second round.
Okay, yeah.
But,
it's just like no one's been able to knock out these Warriors at all. Every single time they get on a run, they get going. So this is going to be definitely a fun matchup. This is going to be obviously this is a lot more of a battle test because this is LeBron James. This is a guy that does know how to win. He can actually lead his troops properly. I know I'm giving this guy a lot of props for a person who doesn't like him, but I always have said he is great no matter what. And my disdain for him is more on his personality side.
Mm-hmm. Do you think this is the best modern day player rivalry we've had since Magic Bird?
It has to be.
Yeah.
There's nobody else that really comes close to it. I mean,
because both are two separate conferences. They meet only in the finals when they do meet each other in the playoffs. So, yeah.
I mean, second biggest of our generation when, like, you think globally, right? Messi, Ronaldo, number one, or you think this is bigger?
That's more of a GOAT debate, not so much as a rivalry so much.
Yeah, that's a good point.
They don't quite as face each other. When they do face, it is a matchup. When that El Clasico happened between Messi and Ronaldo, those were must-see TVs. That was like the whole world tuned in for that one game right there. But this is definitely a rivalry because they have been at each other's throats pretty much their entire, well, especially Steph's rise to the top.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Steph's time at the top has always been accompanied by LeBron right there. And LeBron's now decline is accompanied by Steph's plateau of being still at the top. So it's like, okay, they've been fighting for the top for a little bit, but now it's like LeBron's slightly, he's on a decline. You can see it. His game is not quite where it was.
Yeah.
And Steph has somehow found a way to maintain a status that is unbelievable.
It's unreal. He's like getting better.
Yeah. You know, he's just finding a way to keep adapting to this game right now. And it's definitely a testament to how much of a, how disciplined he is in his craft.
100%.
And how great of a, you know, he is going to be on that. He's carving his mountain right now, the face on Mount Rushmore.
Yeah, he's driving to the paint more than he used to ever in his whole career. He's not outside in the outskirts hitting threes. He's actually getting,
but he's still hitting dirty. Threes.
Well, yeah, he's still hitting threes, but he's driving to the hole a lot more now.
It is cool to me that we got to see these two players face each other so much in the biggest of moments, right? In the finals and now in the second round, like when it means everything, because we've been searching for this since Magic Bird, at least in the NBA, right? Yeah. Like we tried to manufacture it with LeBron and Kobe, but Kobe's teams were killers and LeBron's wasn't at that level yet, right? And Nike even had an ad campaign where they built up this whole thing between Kobe and LeBron and like this promise that they were going to meet in the finals, and
never happened.
That never happened. I'm pretty sure if I remember correctly, Kobe held up his end of the bargain that year. And
yeah, that was the 09, the 10 years. Yeah. Yeah, Boston was a juggernaut that LeBron had to go through in his early years of rising to the top.
But now we have it. We have as close as we can get. And you're right. We are catching LeBron at the tail end, and Steph seems to be kind of at the plateau right now. We'll see. But again, guys, L.A.,
I'm
the
trust
Bay,
me, I'm
let's
excited.
Go. This is fun, man.
I'm excited, but I know how easy it could turn because I know how the Lakers play. Mm-hmm. Derek does as well. We all know how
AD
is.
I mean, it's Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis is like the most fragile.
It's really up to him. If he shows up, we have a shot. If he doesn't show up, then we all
he's
know what's
more sensitive
happen.
Than Generation Z right now. Like, straight up. That guy has,
he's the new Ben Simmons, he's our Ben Simmons.
I mean, I'll take him over Ben Simmons any day.
Well,
least,
yeah.
Okay,
yeah. Just,
don't give him that.
I'm talking about his attitude, not his skill.
Ben Simmons, come on, bro.
That's a bit rough.
So the Warriors and Lakers have faced off 35 times in the playoffs in their history. It is 24-11 Lakers. The last time they played was a 91 in the conference semifinals.
That doesn't count. None of this counts.
No, I know.
Yeah,
I'm
yeah.
just giving you some history.
Well, this
history.
Is the thing. This is the other part of
it's
this.
It's been a while.
In my lifetime, the Warriors and Lakers have never been rivals. They've never been good at the same time. Mainly because the Lakers dominated the 80s, the 90s, and the early 2000s.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the Warriors were pretty terrible through the majority of that. And as the Warriors became, you know, there's an argument to say at least dynastic over the last 9 years here. The Lakers, the 1 year they won in 2020, the Warriors weren't even in the playoffs. Steph was hurt that year. Clay was hurt. Neither one of them played, right?
So still during COVID, which I don't really count that as a ring.
And I'd even say that we were still decent back with Run DMC or TMC.
Yeah, but the Lakers were so overwhelming for a while. It wasn't... Like, I guess those are, like, the early Eddie Jones years, but I'm saying, like, we never had when it was
Kobe,
they
weren't
Shaq,
dominant.
The Warriors weren't very good.
No.
When we had, you know, Showtime Lakers, the Warriors weren't very good. I think they made a couple playoffs in there, but you don't remember any of those teams. And so, finally, you're just hoping this is building because L.A. and the Bay rivalry is fun. It is fun. It is really, really fun. And so, for the first time, we're finally getting that, and I am here for it. If you guys,
I mean,
I
feel like you are definitely trying to manufacture this rivalry more so than it really is. Because, like I said, you're trying to say the LA and the Bay, and the LA and the Bay, we always think of Giants Dodgers, and that's obviously a classic rivalry, and the lines are divided there. When you try to impose that same type of enthusiasm and passion into the basketball, it's hard to do that because it's just not there. It has never been there. That rivalry has never existed. And this is now we're trying to say, oh, they're a rivalry now. It's like, oh, these are two rivals in LeBron and Steph, I feel.
The two players.
This is how we should really mainly focus it is on those guys. And the I think the team aspect will come along with it more so once we have, like, okay, everyone's the LeBron and the Laker fans versus the Steph Curry and Warrior fans.
I mean, yes, you have the regional rivalry, but at the same time, it's not a rivalry until one team knocks another team off and you meet multiple times in the playoffs.
Agreed. I'm not saying it is yet, but I'm saying, like, you know, we could have, like, the makings of one. We could have some fun with it.
Oh, I feel like there's going to be a lot.
This is a rivalry, damn it. You know?
This is going to be
Lakers in four, baby. Let's go.
There's going to be a lot.
Come
of
on now.
To
the draft. Let's go.
There's going to be a lot of trash talking on the text lines between us four. I mean, but at the same time, I feel like it's going to be a little bit more intense, but when it gets closer to the end.
No, it's
going to
be one-sided Lakers in four. That's it.
Let's just say,
there's
I feel like.
He's not going to be saying anything.
I could watch these games with you and be like, okay, I can trash talk you and be fine. I can't watch a Giants Dodgers playoff game with you guys. Like, I feel like that's, like, there's a difference between that. Cause I can watch the Lakers. Like, we could be out in the bars and we could do that.
It could create real problems, real resentment.
Yeah, but a Giants Dodgers playoff one, that one's like, I feel like I have to be alone.
I totally respect that, actually. I totally respect that. I almost feel like I want to pick up, like, a voluntary bar backing shift at Fifth Street just so I can watch this series with you.
But that's something that's going to kind of suck because, like, yeah, if we can get it going, we watch them together. If we can watch some games together, get some, that actual heat, feeling it right then and there, right in the face, that's a way to stir the pot for sure.
So what are we doing tomorrow night?
Well, I just think
I'm working.
I know. What? A Thursday? Date night is going to be at Banshee.
There
we'll
you
just
go.
Watch it.
There
we
go.
There we go.
Date night is going to be in Seattle, Washington. So we'll figure out. We got to figure out some bet amongst the show.
Right.
Listen, we've hogged a lot of time talking about Warriors. And obviously, I dressed really obnoxious for the people listening just to stir the pot. And I'm not getting it, like, a really heartfelt, sincere effort from you guys. And it's okay. It's okay. So let's move on. Before we get to foot and mouth, because a lot happened in the soccer world. But before we get to foot and mouth, I just wanted to give all of us the opportunity to kind of bury the Memphis Grizzlies this year.
Oh, yeah.
They were so obnoxious all year. And I said one of the biggest surprises to me, one of the biggest storylines to me or underrated storylines was how quickly all of us turned on Memphis Grizzlies. Last year, Pete, they were kind of everyone's darlings. Oh, yeah. We liked their spunk. We liked their trash talking. And then it bled into the offseason. And then it continued into this season. Ja Morant says, I'm fine in the West. Only worried about the Celtics. His fine got him bounced, 4-2 in the first round?
Yep.
Dylan Brooks says he pokes bears, then says the media makes him out to be a villain after getting dominated by 40 points in a closeout game.
And doesn't talk during any of his losses for the most part.
Which is just a soft move. Ja Morant is doing the giddy up 20 points in game 5. The problem is there's a game 6 and they lost by 40.
It's they didn't know when to stop.
Yeah.
We love when you're an up-and-coming team and you have this again, that spunk about you, that you have a little feistiness. You realize that, hey, I can make a little bit of noise right now. But once you've had that little feather taken off your cap right there, where you're no longer the young team, everyone knows who you are, everyone knows who Ja Morant is, and you keep pestering. Mm. And you keep doing the, we're something. It's like, okay, we know where you're at. You guys are fun, but, like, you're not there yet. And not to mention, your guy out there is your shooting guard. Yeah. Emphasis on the shooting out there, okay? And he... And then you have a guy out there, again, who wants to say all these bad things about one of the greatest players to ever grace the court, and then start saying how he is a victim here. that's public enemy number one is Dylan Brooks, for sure, right now. And Dylan Brooks, he really... And not to mention, he's ugly as hell.
Oh, he's beyond
ugly. My goodness, he is tough to look at.
The worst hair in the game.
It looks like an alien out there with the way his hair is. It looks like he's got... It's just like, this guy is not natural. And he had to do what he had to do. And you, Memphis Grizzlies, made it very easy for us to hate you because you didn't know when to... Hey, you're at the adult table now. Yeah. You're there. You're part of it. Now act accordingly. Not being like the young young kids at the table that can, like, oh, we can throw a little fit and have a little fun with it. No. You're now dining with the big dogs. know what you're going to get. Yep. You know, they bite back.
And he got it.
Yeah, yeah, they did.
He's gone.
Yeah.
On a contract year, playing the way he did this postseason,
it's atrocious.
He ain't getting paid by no one. I'm sure someone's going to pick him up, but homie's not getting paid.
Oh, man. Hey.
That's good. I just wanted to get the
thank you.
I'm just glad that
the Lake Show put them to sleep and we get to move on to play you guys. So let's go.
I wish they swept them.
Yeah, that would have been a nice, lot cooler. Taste.
Just because, like, that's something that a little worries me. The Lake Show feels they have this ability to turn it on and off. You can't do that with the Warriors.
It's not
right
going
to
happen next
not
round.
With this,
nope.
Not with this round right now. Hopefully you saved up enough in the tank because you need everything right now.
Yes, everything.
And you need everybody healthy.
Yeah.
You need AD healthy. You need it all.
Oh, but you can see LeBron kind of picking and choosing his spots, and if he wants to use, you know, his reserves in throughout this first round. So, I think we're going to – it's going to be fun, man. I mean, the Warriors are going to need someone else to step up besides Kevon Looney and stuff in this next series.
100%.
Like, man, JP. Whoa. Oh, man, watch him pull in that first round. Whoo. Okay. Let's reset. We're gonna switch up the order of things just a little bit. Let's reset. I want to clear some space after that to do foot and mouth. And then we'll get – Aaron on. We'll do the news. Is that cool? Because I really want to give some space to Derek on foot and mouth because we had a match that I went back and watched the highlights, and then I went and I found possibly an illegal stream to watch the game this morning. And man,
wait, which game?
Liverpool.
Oh, you watched the game?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Gotcha. Yeah.
So, yeah.
I was like, there's no need to watch the illegal stream of that game. It was on, you know, regular TV.
I came in hot, my bad. Just a quick reset. Are we all on the same page on how I just produced on air? We're good?
Yes, sir.
Let's do it, baby. Hey,
let's do it.
We're adaptable over here.
You know what it is. Talking about practice, Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio show. Right here on FM 90.1 KZFR, Chico People Powered Community Radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. We want to give a big shout out to our friends over at Butte College announcing their summer class schedule. Knock out a general ed class or pursue the skills you need to jumpstart your career by taking classes at Butte College Glen Center, Chico Center, main campus, or online. Summer session begins June 12th. Visit butte.edu/start and make this summer. Wait. Yeah, and make this
make
isn't
this summer.
And make this summer is about putting the heat on your success. That doesn't make sense. No. But yo, listen.
Oh, good.
Education always good for you. My grandmother always told me you can never be overly dressed or overly educated. So go get you some education.
Quick update. 76ers are up by 2. 3 minutes left in the third. Your boy got some plus 10. Let's go. Harden's having a day with 30 points.
Did you all see Harden's fit when he walked in?
No.
Was it trash?
It was. I mean, it's always. Yeah.
It's
it was. It was aggressively aggressive.
aggressively aggressive.
I parachute pants plus like an extra two parachutes on there of like jeans. It was.
Damn.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure when Brad. No.
Yeah. Hopefully.
Gotta have it. You gotta get it.
All right.
But yeah, if you
let's
can, look this. It up, y'all.
With the man responsible for such flashes of brilliance as
39 was last year, and he could barely throw a ball out of a barnside.
It's time for Derek Izumaki's foot in mouth. No!
That is right, y'all. Time for a little foot in mouth. Now, a lot of what would have happened today, if this morning went really bad for me, I would have been really downtrodden, pretty much inexcusable. But we're not there just yet, so we're okay. So we're going to get to my Evertonians in a little bit, because I got to start with what was truly the game of the weekend, possibly the game of the year, of what happened over in Liverpool when Tottenham paid a little visit to the good old Reds. And they put on a show, as they always do. I mean, Liverpool, they have themselves a team that a little disappointing this year. They are still mid-table. They are still doing it right. They are, you know, they have not produced what they wanted to. The team has not performed exactly how it should have as what they thought of. They've added players in the same position multiple. It's kind of an interesting signing, but they're doing it. They're still there. There's no chance of them being relegated. There's still a slight chance they might get some European competition. So they're fighting for something. Tottenham, on the other hand, is fighting for that European competition right now. They have a chance. They had a chance at the top four, I should say.
Had
a chance at the top four. They still technically, mathematically do, but if you know this team and how Tottenham looks, they don't. They
it
don't
ain't anymore. Happening.
So the game started out in a brilliant fashion right now. Liverpool gets in fast and furious, up 3-0 within the first 15 minutes. 3-0, classic Tottenham right now. Now, if you don't remember, this is a Tottenham team that lost 6-1 to Newcastle the week prior to this. And I got to give a classy move to them. Newcastle, the Tottenham players all banded together to refund all their fans their money back for that game.
Good.
That goes to show you how much they care about what they did and how poor of a performance they had. I mean, 6-1 to Newcastle at home was atrocious. And so shouts to Newcastle for doing that. But Tottenham, good looking out. You gave your fans something to hold on to because they don't have much. Their money. That's all you got. So, again, 3-0 to get your game to start it off in the first 15 minutes. Tottenham gets one back before the end of half. Kane with the nice little... Kane does his thing. Now, the last 15 minutes of this game were nothing but heroics and beauty. As in the 77th minute, Ping Ming Son scores a beautiful goal to get them to 3-2. Hope is alive and well right there, because everyone knows in the soccer world, a two-goal lead is one of the most dangerous leads in all the sports. So a two-goal lead now down to one. Down to one with the beautifulness of Ping Ming Son. And then, the 90th minute in stoppage time. Richarlison! The duck. The man, the Brazilian maestro, the one that Evertonian fleeced to be able to get the money they did on Tottenham for it. So thank you, Tottenham, for this. Got himself his first Premier League goal of the season. Goal of the season.
I didn't know that.
First Premier League goal of the season. This laid in, and they paid roughly £50 million for this man.
So far they're paying £50 million
for one goal.
Pound for one goal.
One Premier League goal.
Now, that is an expensive goal.
That is a very expensive goal.
I didn't know that.
Now, in Richarlison fashion, he celebrates in the most stupendous way. He does take off a shirt for every goal that he has scored and not scored, because he has had many goals called back, and he is still taking off a shirt for those goals that were disallowed. So yellow card right away for that, for two of them for nothing. This one, once again, he takes his shirt off, looks like he pretty much just won the game for them. All he did was just tie it up. Still, a big point after a two-goal deficit. That's a big draw right there. For any team right there, you're able to come back and you're able to get a point out of that system, you do celebrate like that. However, on the ensuing kickoff, what does Liverpool do? They go down there with such ease, such knife through butter, and my goodness, Diego Jota with this shot into the bottom corner to give Liverpool the 4-3 win. Minute after that goal that Richarlison scored in epic fashion was pretty much nothing. Was a light flickering in the wind.
Yeah.
And brushed away instantaneously by Diego Jota. So Liverpool with a fantastic 4-3 victory for them.
A light flickering in the wind.
It blown away real quick. What?
A candle flickering in the wind probably would have been better. Yeah. Okay. Right. I got what you were saying, right.
Though. Match
but also,
wind.
Has this guy ever scored two goals and then got red carded after the second one?
That wouldn't have happened before. I mean, if he gets a red card, it would have been for something else. I mean,
well, because you said he took off his shirt, he got a yellow.
No, this is in different games. These are different games.
No, so I'm saying, has he ever done it before where he scored two goals?
No.
So just the first goal, he takes his shirt off and that's it.
It's just some people's passion takes over and the shirt has to come off. And usually, for the most part, they have in their mind that they have a yellow card to give up.
And they don't do that.
Yeah.
But
it has happened before in competition.
Oh, I would imagine.
Yes, yeah, there are people who get lost in the sauce.
There's no show on KZFR Airways that talks about shirtless dudes more than this show.
I don't think so, no.
And the rules of when and where.
When you can and can't.
How do you feel about ripping your shirt off after scoring?
Again, you automatically, it is a yellow card if you do take your shirt off, if you do take your kit off. It is
more recent rule.
But are you
as well
for or against it?
I'm for that. I'm 100%.
Yeah, 100%.
Now, that being
even
said,
though they're not near water.
No. I mean, no, I'm for them getting the penalty. I'm for them getting the yellow card.
Oh,
they should.
I'm for them taking off the shirt.
That being
depending
said,
depending on the.
In the situation that calls for it, take that shirt off right
if
there.
If it's like when, 10 minutes in, 1-0, you're not going to do that.
There are epic moments in time where people have taken their shirt off that is deservedly so right there. Messi taking his shirt off in the Bernabeu, holding it up over his head as like a plaque to witness.
That's acceptable.
Sergio Aguero when he scores his goal for Man City to win their first Premier League.
Yep.
Take your shirt off then, 100%.
So moment in time.
Moment in time. Yes.
Context always matters.
Everything for whenever the shirt comes off.
I'm with you.
Always on context. So shouts to Tottenham for being once again Tottenham. Tottenham being Tottenham. You once again are
failures.
How are you this good and this bad at the same time? Yeah. It really is. Scientists should study you.
They should.
How you are this the regarded? Status of, the status of your club and the way the product you put out on the field. It's mesmerizing. So, shouts once again to Tottenham and Liverpool for doing the job that you did against Tottenham. As much as I don't want to root for Liverpool's success, seeing Tottenham demise like that is always just somehow glorious. It tastes. Sweet.
I hit up the homie Aaron, who is a huge Tottenham fan, and I totally forgot. And I was just like, yo, did you see the game? It was a pretty crazy match because I know he's into the Premier League. He came back at me so hot. He was hitting me with bandwagon fan and all this.
Damn.
He's like, yeah, man, I'm just a casual.
Oh, is this,
I forgot.
Is this, okay.
Yeah, you know, Avery,
if you come across a serious Tottenham fan, don't. They're sad tears. They don't care anymore.
And like he was born into this. Like his mother is from there as a Tottenham fan.
Oh, so
her grandparents are from there. You know what I mean? Like
you already had a horrible day. You just made it worse.
Yeah, you really
good
did.
Good job, Drew.
You kicked a man when he was down.
Yeah. I did.
Yeah, 100%.
I'm going to call and apologize.
You should text him right now. Like,
I mean, if
you're
a diehard Liverpool fan, and then obviously do that because that's what you. But yeah, being the. And then when it's a tough look. But that being said,
that's
good for you.
Though.
I'm glad you did because Tottenham, you're taking your looks right now, man. That's tough. At least you're not where I am, though. Okay? That's all I can
say. Man, I feel awful. I feel really bad about that.
It is hilarious.
There's a reason why it came at you that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. It makes sense now.
Yeah.
Right.
No, especially if he is born into it. Yeah.
Wow.
It's tough. It's tough out there for Tottenham fans. They live a very, very... abysmal life. Yeah, it's very abysmal for them. So we move it forward. I got one more for you today, just because if you're riding with me in these segments, you know I'm an Evertonian. I am for this Evertonian club, and we're fighting for our lives yet again. Another season where we are facing a drop into the championship with an insurmountable amount of debt probably piling onto our heads with a new stadium on the horizon. So what do? We go into Leicester City to take on a team that we lost 2-0 to, a game that I was at Goodison Park last time we lost that game. I saw both those goals go in. One was spectacular by Yuri Tillemans. The other one, I don't want to talk about anymore. That being said, still great experience. Wouldn't change it for life. Would love a goal, though. That being said, we move along. The game happened. And what could have been a disaster. It could have been an absolute disaster. I could have been hanging my head in shame. Drew would have been even more mad at me at the vibe I brought in here because I probably wouldn't want to talk at all because of what have probably happened was we would have been sent down to championship, would have stamped our way into the relegation zone for sure. Now, we face a Leicester City team that is also in the bottom three with us right now. They are not doing off. They're not faring too well either.
So it's them and then who else?
Right now it is us. Nottingham Forest, and it was Leicester City going into this match. Now, they were able to draw. We got a draw out of this, a 2-2 draw, but Leicester City should have had it in the bag. But they floundered it yet again, so thank you, Leicester, for taking all 3 points and leaving one for us. We'll take it. We'll take that point. We needed that point. We love three, but we'll take the one right now. So at this point in time, it's just Southampton, Everton, and Nottingham Forest on the bottom three. Nottingham Forest 30, Everton 29, Southampton 24. Haven't solidified it yet, but Southampton, you're on your way out at this point in time. But the only solace that we have right now is that Leeds and Leicester City both are on 30 points as well. West Ham at 34. So teams are tightly knit at the bottom. Points are coming at a premium, and anything you get can be salvation. And there's still hope for Everton to get out of there with a better schedule than some. We still got some tough matches, but points to be had. It's going to get tasty. And the great thing about this game was seeing two teams that are fighting for their life going for it. You're going to get a lot of games like that when those teams that are fighting to make sure that they get something out of it. You get some great football, and we had a great game with Leicester City and Everton in a 2-2 draw. That, again, really should have been a 3-1 victory for Leicester City. Oh, but by the grace of God, we got something.
Yeah, and I was going to say, you're not really facing anybody out like in that relegation realm outside of the Wolverhampton Wanderers.
Yeah, we have a match against Bournemouth.
Bournemouth at the very end.
We'll be a big one, too. But we do have a match against Man City that will be
huge
for them. As Man City did beat Fulham to take the top spot against Arsenal right now, they still have a game in hand, and they have a 1-point lead. So it looks like at this point, Arsenal, sorry.
You guys had it.
You had it.
All right, from foreign sports to our foreign correspondent.
Wow.
We class up the show every week and bring in our good friend Aaron to cover the sports we're not paying enough attention to. Aaron, hello.
How's it going, guys?
Never been better. So I bring you in with the the sports we're not covering, but I gotta tell you, I watched three game sevens yesterday, and only one of them was hoops. Hockey is going crazy right now, so please, the floor is yours. Please give us your hockey update.
Fuck yeah!
Yeah, if you're not watching hockey, you should be. It's incredibly exciting. There's actually another game seven happening right now between the New York Rangers and the New Jersey Devils. Crazy. So yeah, three of these sets of games went to game seven, and one of them yesterday went into overtime. Also, I would like to say I called it. Never go for the team that makes the record that season. The Bruins lost to the Panthers yesterday. Crazy game. The Panthers scored twice. Boston came back. They were up 3-2, and with a minute to go in the third period, the Panthers tie it and then go on to win in overtime.
Beautiful. Loved it.
Absolutely unbelievable.
These guys weren't watching it. I don't even know why I bothered texting them. I texted this group chat. I should have just texted you.
Both at work, bro.
Oh, fair enough.
It was on in the background. Yeah. Okay. Like, that was the game I did have on.
Okay,
you know,
fair enough.
I give props to game seven wherever I work. That gets, you know.
Yeah, no, the Stanley Cup playoffs have been insane. I'm sorry for your abs, but...
Yeah, that was a disappointment. I will say, though, you know, that was on them. There was no scoring in the first or third period. Seattle went up 2-0 in the second period. A real disappointment because that first goal was off one of the Avs' gloves and bounced into the goalie's net. So that was pretty unfortunate. But then we thought, not all was lost, because a couple minutes into the third period, they score a goal. However, it is called back because of icing, which is like the dumbest rule on planet Earth. So that was a disappointment. And you know what? It is what it is. The Panthers are going on to play the Maple Leafs. The Oilers are playing the Golden Knights, and then the Hurricanes will play the winners of New York versus New Jersey.
Yeah, the Stanley Cup playoffs have been on fire. It's been a lot of fun this year. I've actually...
So this is a big time for Toronto right now, as the Maple Leafs got their first playoff series victory since 2004, I believe it was.
Damn.
So,
wow.
Yeah, Toronto's going crazy. They love their Leafs up there. It's like one of the things they like really care about.
I hate the Maple Leafs.
Terrible.
I mean, because you're supposed to be the Maple Leafs. You're supposed to be like Canada's team.
I understand.
You're blue and white, and yet your flag is red and white.
Yeah, it makes
no
sense.
Why are you blue? No. Why? Yeah, you know, it makes no sense.
It makes no sense.
Be red and white like your flag because you're a Maple Leaf.
And a long, long time ago, I think it was probably late 90s, the Maple Leafs beat the Sharks, and I believe it was a Game 7, and they had 2 goals counted for them because they didn't have instant replay that... or against the Sharks that hit the crossbar in the back of the net and bounced out.
It's got to be the last time the Leafs won the Cup.
I don't think they won that year.
Well, how could they have played in the Game 7 if it wasn't a...
Yeah, because Toronto's in the Eastern Conference Finals. Or Eastern Conference.
I may have that confused, and I may hate them for no reason other than the blue thing.
Could it be the Canucks?
I don't know. I'm going to have to do some research
could
now.
Could have been the Canucks because they have a similar color scheme.
Yeah,
well.
It could be.
And they're Canada as well.
Yeah, Canada. It could have been the Blues. Yeah. Who knows?
Talk about Canada. Snoop Dogg just put a bid on the Ottawa Senators, I believe.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So Snoop's about to be an owner.
I apologize for derailing the show, Aaron. You got anything else for us on hockey?
That's it for hockey, but Justin Bieber is a big Maple Leafs fan. That's his team.
Huh. Like, right. do Canadians feel compelled to root for the Maple Leafs because it's like, oh, it's our national symbol, a Maple Leaf?
You imagine you would.
Right? Like, if you're in, like, Saskatchewan or something like that, you're like, I can't root for the Oilers. I'd rather root for the Maple Leafs.
That's your Canadian accent? That's what we're doing?
It's Saskatchewan.
Is that okay. Your French-Canadian or Canadian?
Listen, we got a couple questions from listeners. They're all very long. So I figured I would just take a poll of the room here, and including you, Aaron, because Steph asked me a really great question yesterday that I don't know that I've ever considered before. So I want to ask the room, and I'll start with you, Aaron. But the question she asked me is, when do I feel more emotion when my team wins a big game or when my team loses? So either way, like 1 to 100, 100 being the most disappointed, angry, whatever, and 1 to 100, you know, you feel the most joy and love you could ever feel. Do you feel more emotion losing or winning? Aaron, I'll start with you.
I think I'm going to go with winning. Losing is pretty disappointing, and it's difficult for me to kind of gauge it because I was there at game 7 when the Dodgers lost, and when you're there in person,
let's go, baby. Yeah,
it's so much worse. But I think the high highs are better than the low lows.
Stepman Brad.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with winning. Winning makes me more like passionate than it does a loss. A loss just, you know, hits different.
Derek.
I hate losing more than anything, I feel. So, like, taking that loss, and like Aaron said, that game 7, it haunts me to this day. It hurts. I remember just sitting there, and I always remember, I remember writing
live
back.
Too.
Yeah, you're right there with it. You just have to soak it all in. But I remember when we were riding back on the bus, there was a group of guys in front of us, and some guy was talking about his day as a substitute teacher or something like that. And like Aaron was so mad at him, like, you need to shut up right now. Like, we all just need to be here in silence. And like I was like, yeah, 100%. We all need to wallow in this right now, take it in, and no one should be talking. And I wanted to slap him as well. So losses hurt a lot for me.
Rudy?
I would have to go with winning, man, because all year you're so amped. Your team is good that year. You're looking forward to playoffs, hopefully championship, Super Bowl, whatever it is. And once they do win, it's like, let's go. We did it.
So I have a two-parter. I would say losing, I would tend to side with you. I don't know what that says about our personality and our shortcomings. But I would say winning when it's not expected, right? When you weren't the favorite. When there's expectations, as I was explaining to Steph yesterday, when there's expectations, she was like, do you feel like happier now today after winning game 7 than you felt like disappointment had you lost? And I was like, no, I feel like happy in the moment, but I just feel a sense of relief because now we got to go and do this again for the next 2 weeks, possibly. And then again. Yeah. Yeah. And then possibly again. You know what I mean? So it's just, I feel like losing now that we've done it. I've seen a couple of my teams win. Yeah, I feel more.
So do you think you'd feel better losing to the Kings or to the Lakers?
Oh, man. Ooh, that's a tough one.
That's a good question.
That's a great question because I have a lot of both of you, your fan bases in my life.
I know.
God, I don't know. I don't know. Yes.
While you think about that, let me just say, so the Toronto Maple Leafs for 4 years were in the Western Conference between 93 to 97, and they did play the Sharks in 93-94. They did go to a game 7, and they did beat the Sharks.
Wow.
That is amazing. Yeah. I didn't even realize this. There was a Clarence Campbell conference, and then they moved to the Western Eastern Conference. They were part of the Western for 4 years before. Sorry, 5 years before they moved to the Eastern Conference. In now I'm just.
Okay.
That was great.
98-99. I went too far.
Maple Leafs is true.
Your hatred is true for that.
Yeah. Validated.
I also have an answer to your question, Rudy. I spent so much of my life just expecting to lose to the Lakers that I think I understand that feeling more. You know what I mean?
That makes sense,
I think I could because the Lakers are such a legendary franchise, I think I can understand that
you can
more.
Tolerate it easier.
Yeah, because, you know, like the Kings, they're just like, they're so fresh, fun, and they're exciting. And they're, I remember new, what it was like when the Warriors were on the way up. But they're just this young punk team, and you don't want to go out to the punk team as the champs. And the Lakers, like, at least that franchise is storied. So yeah, there you go.
Fair
are.
Enough. Okay.
All right. I think we have sufficiently wasted 20 minutes of Aaron's time. I think, unless you get back to your evening, my friend. As always, excellent. Wait. We appreciate it. You got something for him?
Before you go, what are your new predictions since the Avs are out? Because your boy needs to make his money back.
Well, are you going to do what you did last time?
No. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it right now.
You know what? I'm going to take the Golden Knights. They've been pretty good.
Okay.
For the last few years, like, they've always been strong since they came into the league. Right. They need a Stanley Cup.
All right, Golden Knights it is.
So no cup for Canada yet, right? Keep the cup out of Canada.
Oh, God, no, absolutely right? not.
I think we should start that hashtag, keep the cup out of Canada.
Hey, let's start that. Right. Like that could go viral, bro.
Get the cup out of Canada?
It's not, no, never keep. Been keep the out of Canada.
Keep it out of Canada?
Yeah, keep it out of Canada. Okay. Yeah.
Golden Knights, let's go.
Again, we have sufficiently wasted enough of our time. We're going to let you go. We'll catch up with you next week. Thank you.
Talk to you later, guys.
Later. All right. Well, that was fun.
Yeah.
All right.
It was a good time.
I don't know where we're going from here. Let's do Rudy's pick since we're already talking about gambling. No, wait. Hold on. Oh. Producer role there.
I tell you, it's just occurred to me what the student body has been chanting for the last 2 or 3 minutes. It's the name Rudy.
I'm gambling again.
That's just too
creepy. I'll be short and simple, baby. Just listen to your boy. A's over. Every game, it don't matter who they're playing. Doesn't matter who's pitching. 6 out of 7 last week. 6 out of 7. Yes, they play it every day. It don't matter. Over every day. Kentucky Derby this week. I'll do some research. I'll post that during the week. We got the Wells Fargo, North Carolina this weekend. Jordan Spieth, you owe me money, so let's get it. Ricky Fowler, he's due. He's playing well. And I'm going with Kitayama's again. Kitayama's 12,500 to 1, baby. Let's go.
Let's get it.
That's it.
I will say, I feel like if there's a pro golfer or something like that who like flounders a lead like the way some of these guys do, I feel like they should owe money to the people that bet on them.
Exhibit A.
You know, like, dude, you played like poop soup, and you deserve to. We deserve to be compensated somehow.
Yeah,
you know?
Thank you. Yeah, yes.
I think so. Yeah,
thank you.
I'm for it.
Okay.
All right.
Let's get it.
All right. I like it. You want to tell us what's going on in the North State, my good friend?
I can.
He's got facts. He's got stats. And his name is Brad. It's time for Statman Brad's North State Update.
All right, y'all. It's kind of a sad weekend for the Chico State Wildcats.
We love that in here. Yeah, we love that. Yeah.
It's not pretty. It's not pretty. Yeah. They split the series against Cal State Dominguez Hills, but still not a pretty season so far. 18-23 overall and 12-19 in conference. Hopefully they can come back. They'll be playing at home against Cal State LA. One game on Thursday, 2 games on Friday, and then another game on Saturday. As we do have the conference tournament, CCAA tournament coming up May 10th. That's a Wednesday. If they can squeak on in, it's going to be really dependent on this last series if they drop out of it or they make it in. So hopefully they'll squeak in, just like Chico State softball did. They are now playing against Cal State San Marcos in the first round of the tournament as they took the series against Cal State East Bay, but just barely making it in. The last time they played San Marcos, they lost 3-1, so hopefully they can get that one game magic to advance on to the next round and see if they can make a good playoff run. Now we have baseball and softball for prep sports, or for high school sports. It's going to be an interesting one for both PV, softball, and baseball. Baseball and softball, they're ranked number 1 in the Eastern League. Nice. So, yeah, and PV Baseball finished off real hot against Foothill, winning 3-2, 13-2, and 12-1. They have a great pitching staff this year. Hitting's been immaculate, like always. Chico High, again, second in the Eastern Conference, have been coming in hot, and they actually ended it very hot. 6-0 lead, or 6-0 victory against Enterprise, 15-1, and then 11-1. So, if they win PB and Chico meet up in the conference final or in the league final, that's going to be a matchup to see. Again, going to softball, won a heck of a year for both PB and Chico. 16-7 overall for Chico and 5-2 in league, and they're sitting in third place in the Eastern Athletic League. They actually have three more games, one against Shasta tomorrow. And then Foothill on Friday. Saturday, they play against Yuba City in a non-league game. And the last league game is against Pleasant Valley High School. As PV will have a game tomorrow against Red Bluff, a Friday game against Enterprise, and then, again, the Tuesday game against Chico High. And they have been on an absolute tear. So, six game win streak. Playoffs will be most likely not this weekend, but next week in the start of it. And we'll report on that as it comes.
Nice, let's go.
Good job, Brad.
I feel updated on the North State.
Also want to give a shout-out to our guy, Josh. He's on the Chico State men's basketball team. He said he listens to the show and he loves
it.
What we're doing. So
Shout-out
our guy, Josh.
I'm excited to see what they got going on for basketball this year because they had a decent year. And I'm like,
what they chefing up over there.
Yeah. I'm excited to see what transfers, what freshmen they got coming in to really bolster up their lineup.
That's next semester, though, right?
Yeah, it's next.
We got some time.
Yeah, we got some time.
We got approximately 9 months.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
But still,
anything's gonna happen in that time.
It's always one thing that I'm always looking forward to is what's the next season looking like once we're getting close to the end of another.
Like I said, potential, man. Everyone's got it.
Exactly. You know? And Chico State always has it. That's the biggest thing that Chico State sports has always had is potential. It just depends on how they perform.
Yeah.
That's everyone. We want to say it all.
Well said.
Yeah.
Yo,
thank you.
Derek.
Performance matters.
If they score more points than the other team, they win.
They win.
Yeah. Dealer's choice, my friend. Do you want to do the news? Do you want to do Grinds My Gears? Or do you want to give me your top five favorite soccer phrases?
I feel like we should save the news. I feel like we should do some Grinds My Gears. We haven't done some of that. Yep. It gets everyone involved in there.
We had a listener request for that, so let's do that.
Perfect.
Let's do it, yeah.
All right. I could start while you...
I
you got one? Let's do it.
Yeah. You know what really grinds my gears?
Those stupid white cowboy boots that every girl and their mom is
wearing. Yes!
Oh, my God.
So
everyone.
Much,
everyone. Everywhere.
Yeah.
Instagram, Safeway, the park, the damn dog park.
Yeah.
How to find out a fake country girl right there, 101.
Just stop. I'm over it. That's it.
Yes.
Okay.
If my girl wanted to wear them, I'd be okay.
I'd do it all day.
I'm gonna be okay.
Ladies, keep doing
what
you want to
do. Okay.
I can't take it anymore.
Yeah.
All right. You ready, sir?
Yeah, go for it.
You know what really grinds my gears?
When I get a lot of people posting their naked babies on my feed. I get it. You want to show off your kid. Just put them in clothes. That's all I'm asking.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
I don't
see that.
Like, I get it. It's like
totally
maybe the topless one's fine. You know, like they're in the bathroom. Yeah. It's cute, fine. But like,
no genitalia. Saying,
no,
bro.
None.
No,
please,
baby genitalia.
No, I don't need any
get
of that.
Get that out of here.
I don't need Chris Hansen coming out of my woodwork.
No.
Okay, I really don't.
I'm with you.
So please, just cover them up. That's all I'm asking. It's cute. It looks cuter when it's covered up.
All right, I got one real quick.
You know what really grinds my gears?
Touchless soap dispensers and sinks when I still have to turn a doorknob.
Wow, yeah.
What are we doing?
Yeah.
What are we doing? Especially when I don't have a paper towel that I can use. If it's touchless drying my hands, so I have to touch the doorknob. What are we doing? What is the point of all this?
Give me the foot handle, you know?
Yes.
I put my foot on the bottom and pull open the door. Give me that bare minimum if you're going to do that to me. If you're going to put me in such a predicament, you know? Yeah, like I'm trying to save lives here.
Yeah.
Straight up.
You know what really grinds my gears?
But when you're doing laundry and you forget like two pieces to do.
It's
the worst. You're like, no! I needed those socks. No, you're not going to do one load of just two socks or a pair of underwear or a shirt you forgot to wash and you really wanted that shirt. No. No, it's like, all right, that's gone. I got to start to wait for next week or 2 weeks whenever I do the next laundry load.
Will you throw it in like a minute or two after?
Oh, yeah, 100%. Like, yeah. If I see you catch in
time,
it's like
if they're still putting the water in there,
Once it started the whole cycle, then I'm like,
if the green light is on, it's on.
Yeah. Right. I'm taking my chance. But granted, at my laundromat that I go to now, it's like locks them in place.
So I'm
up the creek without a paddle on that one.
No, I got one real quick.
You know what really grinds my gears?
When your waitress or waiter or server informs you that it's going to be upcharge for more sauce, I know the cost of my shame. We don't need to talk about it. And it also, like, yeah, I'm good for the extra 75 cents, pal. Like, we don't need to talk about it. Just throw it on the tab. I don't care. Like, I'm not going to be mad if it's like I paid $1.50 extra for ranch. I know I'm fat. You know I'm fat. Like, let's, like, we don't need to discuss this transaction.
If
I'm
rich,
asking
rich
for it, I want it. You know?
I'm willing to pay for it.
We know what we're getting. Just better left unsaid.
Yeah.
100%.
What extra wouldn't you guys pay for? Is there like something like that you wouldn't
ketchup.
Pay extra for?
Yeah, yeah. Ketchup is universal.
Yeah,
no, go grab me a bag.
You asked me for Taco Bell sauce and charged me for that? No, I'm slapping you across the face.
A lot of threats of slapping people today.
I'm sorry. That's, I'm not well, with that.